Chapter 5. 2 weeks later, Dirk was beginning to let his guard down. He knew better, of course. But Blackwing continued to permit him his meetings with Todd, and Todd seemed unopposed to their developing friendship. From Dirk's perspective, things were looking up. Granted, he still didn't understand Blackwing's motives, or even what they were getting out of the arrangement. It seemed innocuous enough. Dirk and Todd met, they talked, they played board games. And Blackwing watched. Sometimes, if a session with Todd brought up anything interesting, Blackwing would repeat the experiment. But otherwise, Dirk was left to his own devices. His visits with Todd as regular as his meals. Regular enough, even to track. Todd's appointments were 3 and 4 days apart, so Dirk developed what he thought was a rather ingenious system. Using his London guide, he kept track of the day using dog-eared pages. 3 pages today, which meant it was an appointment day. Their interaction limited to the 15 minutes Todd spent waiting on a technician. Dirk was only a little disappointed. But 15 minutes was better than nothing, so Dirk sat on his bed and waited, his legs drawn up and folded beneath him. The dog-eared pages didn't give him a time, but he had enough of a sense of the day's flow to know someone would be coming for him soon. So Dirk waited, and waited. He waited until his stomach began to rumble, the hour now closer to supper than lunch. But that didn't seem right, and he wondered if he'd gotten the days wrong, if he'd folded too many pages, or hadn't folded enough. It was entirely possible the entire system was out of sorts. When someone finally did appear outside his door, it was only a technician, coming to bring him food. She left as soon as it was delivered. Dirk's questions ignored. He spent the next few minutes staring at the tray on his desk, while trying to figure out what he'd done wrong. It was entirely possible he'd miscounted, but Dirk didn't think so, which meant this was a punishment. Todd taken away, because that threat had been hanging over his head practically from day one. The question, then, was why. Resigned, Dirk climbed from the bed and made his way over to the desk. Supper, when he checked, consisted of 2 dry meatloaf and a uniform lump of mashed potatoes. Yellowing, mushy peas completed the meal. Dirk's stomach lurched at the smell. A single serving of chocolate pudding set apart from the hot food. Dirk took this and a spoon back to bed. He was halfway through the pudding when a shadow flickered across the door. Dirk glanced up just as Colonel Riggins came into the room. Clutching the unfinished pudding to his chest, Dirk scrambled to his feet. He was standing by the time Riggins made it through the door, Dirk positioning himself as far from the door as his furniture would allow. With Riggins standing inside the doorway, the room felt impossibly small. Dirk drew himself to his full height, aware for the first time that he was now taller than Riggins. He had no idea when that had happened. Though it hardly mattered, what Riggins lacked in height, he made up for in breadth. The width of his shoulders easily twice that of Dirk's. Dirk occupied space, but Riggins filled it, so when Riggins took a step forward, Dirk took one back, his hip colliding with the back of his chair. "Did I do something wrong?" he heard himself ask. He hadn't meant to, but it was out now, and there was no going back. Riggins' answering smile was vaguely apologetic. "No, Svlad. I meant to come see you sooner, to let you know that Todd couldn't make it today. I'm sorry it took so long. I got... held up." Relief was immediately displaced by worry, Dirk's fingers curling around the pudding cup he still held to his chest. "Is Todd okay?" he asked. It hadn't occurred to him to think Todd might have been the reason for their missed meeting. Was Todd sick? Was there something wrong with him? Or had he finally decided he was done with Dirk? That Dirk wasn't worth the money Blackwing was paying him? "A personal matter," Riggins said, which didn't exactly answer Dirk's question. But he said he'd be here Tuesday. Some of Dirk's anxiety eased, though his worry lingered. If Todd was coming on Tuesday, then it couldn't be serious, whatever it was. More importantly, if Todd was coming on Tuesday, then he wasn't done with Dirk. The reassurance did little to ease his disappointment. He expected Riggins to leave then. There was no reason for him to stay, but Riggins showed no sign of doing so, seemingly content to stand inside Dirk's doorway and stare. Dirk was familiar enough with Riggins' scrutiny that it shouldn't have been awkward, but there was something in his expression, some unnamed expectation that put Dirk immediately on guard. New tension coiled in his chest. Dirk's back straightened against it. Riggins, on the other hand, stood completely at ease, his hands folded behind his back, His body rounded forward. This was the father figure Dirk remembered from his childhood. Only the fatigues showed Riggins for what he truly was. New apprehension prickled at the back of Dirk's neck. "Let's take a walk," Riggins said after a moment. They were words he'd heard before, usually before Riggins brought him to some new and unpleasant experiment. He said something similar that time with the electrodes, the torch offered only after Dirk had balked. He considered balking again, but it was clear Riggins wasn't expecting an answer. He was already halfway out the door. Dirk left with little choice but to follow. He knew better than to ask where they were going. Riggins would lead him to where Riggins wanted him to go, and if the universe didn't want him there, the universe would find a way to prevent it. Dirk had been through this enough times. So it wasn't a surprise when Riggins led him into the administration wing. That came after. Riggins, leading them past the observation rooms, past his and Dr. Fenchurch's offices, to a set of double doors at the end of the wing that Dirk couldn't remember having ever been through. A swipe of Riggins' keycard opened the doors, Dirk's apprehension now fluttering in his chest. For the first time in his life, he wished for a hunch. Something, anything, to indicate where they were going, and why. Nothing came. Dirk left to follow Riggins into a short hall, this leading to a sealed door. Above it, a glowing red exit sign. Dirk's breath caught in his throat. "They still don't see the possibilities," Riggins said as he swiped them past the door and into a tight stairwell. There were 16 steps between landings, the stairs doubling back on themselves, so that as they climbed, they wound at a slow circle. Dirk had vague memories of riding in an elevator shortly after arriving at Blackwing, the pit of his stomach sinking as they'd fallen. At the time, he couldn't have said how far down they'd gone, but now he had his answer: 4 flights, 64 stairs. The top flight ended at another door, this an exact duplicate of the one below. By the time they reached it, Dirk was breathless, Riggins slightly winded. "They think they can contain you here, that the science of it is a worthy enough goal." He shook his head, his keycard coming out to grant them escape from the stairwell. Dirk's heart drummed in his chest. "They don't see the practical applications, the good you could do." He was speaking, Dirk realized, not for Dirk's benefit, but for his own, as though perhaps convincing himself this was the right course of action. It made Dirk curious, some of his trepidation fading as Riggins led them out into the hall. This hall was considerably brighter than the halls below, and yet the light was different somehow, muted in a way Dirk didn't understand. It was a strange contradiction. Riggins didn't appear to notice. He led them to where the hall dead-ended at a junction. To the right, the hall stretched on indefinitely, countless doors lining the walls. To the left, the hall ended abruptly, a set of frosted glass doors that reflected and pooled exterior light. Dirk's hand began to tremble. He got out, but Riggins was already moving towards the glass doors. Dirk followed on shaky legs. Upon reaching the doors, Riggins paused, his keycard held in his hand. He turned abruptly to meet Dirk's gaze, his expression oddly placid. If this was a test, an experiment, Riggins gave nothing away. "Dr. Fenchurch never understood. This isn't something we can quantify. I'm not even sure it's something we can replicate in the lab. But if you are what I think you are, then it's worth taking some risks." He said all of this as though looking for Dirk's approval, but all Dirk could do was blink and stare. He had no idea how to interpret Riggins' statement, and yet the light filtering in through the frosted glass was light he remembered from his childhood. Dirk trembling with anticipation. "You're letting me go?" he asked, hopeful. Riggins' expression fell. He seemed disappointed, though Dirk couldn't tell if it was the question or the assumption. After a minute, Riggins shook his head. "That is beyond my power," he said, "nor would it be safe. You are, however, old enough to have some of your privileges extended." He scanned his keycard as he spoke, so that by the time he had finished speaking, the door was swinging open. Dirk assaulted by the scent of damp earth. It transported him immediately, Dirk back at his father's estate, the lonely hours of his childhood spent roaming the woods behind his ancestral home. He could see them now, trees stretching across the horizon, damp moss growing around their bases. Inhaling sharply, Dirk followed Riggins through the door, and found not a forest, but a tiny courtyard, this ringed on all sides by windowless concrete. It was as though the walls of the compound contained a sanctuary of green. It was by far the most beautiful thing Dirk had ever seen. "Oh," he said, not bothering to hide his surprise. This late in the day, the courtyard was wreathed in shadows, but Dirk could still trace the path that wound its perimeter. There was only the one door, and from it a second path sneaked its way into the courtyard's center. There, two benches sat nestled inside a cluster of trees, one facing the other. The sound of trickling water carried from the back of the yard. Away from the tight press of the suffocating concrete, with a tiny patch of graying sky open above him, Dirk could feel the pull of the universe in a way he hadn't in years. It felt as though someone had tied invisible strings to his chest and was dragging him forward, the urge to scale the walls and follow the universe's call overwhelming. Dirk's knees buckled. Riggins caught him by the elbow. "What is it?" he asked, eager in a way that explained this decision. Dirk's mood evaporated. He should have known. Blackwing's motives were always ulterior. It would never be anything other than an experiment. One more test, one more answer. The endless cycle of his life. Dirk little better than a lab rat. Suddenly angry, Dirk pivoted, wrenching his elbow free from Riggins' grasp as he turned. He spun until they stood face to face, Dirk's gaze watery, Riggins carved from patient marble. "You brought me here thinking you could control this, but you can't, because it doesn't work when I'm locked in a cage. And now what? You think you can give me some books, some extra time in the common room, fresh air, and a friend and all?" "Easy, Svlad," Riggins said. "I'm not the enemy here. I only want what's best for you." Straightening so that he didn't feel quite so small, Dirk lifted his chin. "I want to go back to my room," he said. He was fairly certain he'd crossed a line, that Riggins would punish him, that he'd lose Todd and his books, and his time in the common room. But Dirk didn't care. He thought that when they'd given him the guidebook, it meant they were planning on letting him go. He saw now that that wasn't going to happen. That all of this, Todd, the guidebook, the courtyard, were tools of manipulation. Riggins still utterly convinced Dirk was something he wasn't. To his surprise, Riggins merely nodded, looking disappointed but not upset. He led Dirk back into the building. The invisible strings cut the moment they passed through the door. The universe shrouded from him the second they reached the stairs. The technician turned left instead of right. Dirk's stomach sank. They hadn't discussed his outburst, not since Riggins brought Dirk back to his room. In the days that followed, he'd seen only Dr. Fenchurch. If she knew about the courtyard, she hadn't brought it up. Four dog-eared pages later, Dirk was fairly certain his appointment with Todd stood. Now he wasn't so sure. "Sorry, aren't we going to the common room?" Dirk asked. The technician didn't answer. His pace was clipped, the set of his shoulders a good indication of his mood. He'd been sent to carry out a task, and intended to do so in the most expedient manner possible. That meant no conversation. Dirk ignored. It was easy enough to guess where they were going, their route horribly familiar. Dirk dragged his feet, but kept up, the pair of them winding their way through the halls until the double doors into the administrative wing came into view. Now the question was obvious. Dr. Fenchurch or Colonel Riggins? Most days he'd hoped for Riggins, but today he wished for Dr. Fenchurch. Dirk still shaky with nerves while Riggins was concerned. He'd all but yelled at the man, and while Riggins hadn't yelled back, his disappointment was obvious. Dirk didn't particularly want to know how far that disappointment extended. The universe, however, rarely cared what Dirk wanted, so it was hardly a surprise to find Riggins waiting for them on the other side of the door. He was standing just outside his office door, utterly at ease, a neutral smile on his face. Dirk's steps faltered, but he didn't slow. The technician stopped just inside of Riggins' reach. He handed over his clipboard. Riggins took it without a word. He signed off on the transfer with practiced ease, his smile fixed. Dirk watched the proceedings with barely concerned apprehension. He could read nothing in Riggins' expression. "Thank you," Riggins said, handing back the clipboard. Dirk watched it trade hands and then ducked his head, his gaze seeking out one of the irregularly placed gold squares set into the pattern on the tile. He didn't glance up again until the technician's footsteps had faded. Dirk drawn by the weight of Riggins' gaze. "Are you ready?" Riggins asks, as though none of this was out of the ordinary. Dirk hesitated. He had no idea how to answer. He wasn't even sure Riggins expected one. Apparently not, it seemed. Riggins pivoted on his heel, leading Dirk not into his office, but towards the double doors at the end of the hall. "Where are we going?" Dirk asked, despite knowing the answer. "Contrary to what you might think, I'm not trying to manipulate you," Riggins said as he led them into the stairwell. "You've made remarkable progress, Vlad, and I'm proud of you." It didn't answer Dirk's question, but it was the only explanation Riggs seemed willing to give, so Dirk bit his tongue and followed Riggins up the stairs. There was no mistaking where they were going now. Dirk oddly resigned. He followed Riggins to the top of the stairs, and then into the short hall, where, at the juncture, they turned left, Riggins leading him to the frosted glass doors that led out into the courtyard. "I don't understand," Dirk said, feeling profoundly tired. This would be so much easier if Riggins simply told him what he wanted. "I'm offering you freedoms, Slad," Riggins said. Dirk shook his head. His confusion must have shown, because Riggins sighed, his expression long-suffering. "You have an hour," he said, gesturing to the door. "I hope the trust I've placed in you is warranted." Several very important pieces clicked into place. The first being that Riggins intended to leave him alone. The second being that in all likelihood, Todd was waiting for him inside. Finally, there was the distinct possibility, one Dirk didn't want to examine too closely, in case he was wrong, that the courtyard was too complex an environment for overt surveillance. Freedoms, Riggins had said. But what did it mean? He didn't get a chance to ask. Wasn't sure he wanted to know. Riggins ushering him through the door, his keycard already scanned. Dirk spotted Todd immediately. He was sitting on one of the benches, looking lost, and more than a little confused. He glanced up at the sound of the door, relief flooding his features. A wide smile broke out across his face. Dirk returned it. It was brighter today than it was on Dirk's first visit. The hour earlier. The courtyard filled with dappled sunlight. It was warm, too. Almost too warm for the gray sweats Dirk wore inside the climate-controlled building. Todd was wearing a t-shirt today. This splashed with color. A ring of smiling bears swirled at its center. He paired it with ripped jeans, though the dampness at his brow suggested he, too, felt overdressed. "Todd," Dirk said, feeling the universe's pull. Todd's smile grew. It accentuated the dark circles under his eyes. "Are you sick?" Dirk asked. "What? Oh, no, sorry. I'm just tired. And sorry about last week. I had... something came up." He stood at Dirk's approach, Dirk only then noticing the guitar case propped on the seat beside him. Sharp excitement spiked in his chest. "You brought your guitar," he said, stating the obvious. Todd appeared oddly startled. He glanced over his shoulder, as though he'd forgotten the instrument entirely. A second later, he shook his head, soft laughter spilling past his lips as his gaze swung back to Dirk. "Yeah, my acoustic," he said, as though Dirk would understand. When Dirk didn't answer, he elaborated, "I usually play electric." "Ah," Dirk said, not wanting to admit he didn't know the difference. Todd seemed to take this at face value. He glanced again to the guitar, and then let his gaze drift around the courtyard, the resulting silence broken only by the soft echo of trickling water. "This is weird, right?" Todd asked when he was done taking in their surroundings. The words were practically whispered, as though he was worried someone might overhear. Dirk leaned instinctively towards him. "A little," Dirk admitted. "This is only my second time here." That seemed to catch Todd off guard, so Dirk offered what he hoped was an apologetic shrug. "Okay," Todd said, sounding anything but certain. "I thought maybe it was because I asked if I could bring the guitar." That was a possibility Dirk hadn't considered before. He considered it now. The idea had merit, but then Blackwing's motives were never very clear. Riggins even less so. "I don't mind it," Dirk admitted, and he didn't. The air was warm and sweet and thick with scent. The feel of sunlight, what little reached through the canopy of trees, was pleasant in a way that still reminded him of his father's estate. Todd, if his nodding was any indication, agreed. "Do you want..." He gestured to his guitar. "Of course," Dirk said, giving an enthusiastic nod. Todd ducked his head at that, faint color seeping into his cheeks. It might have been the heat, but Dirk didn't think so, his stomach fluttering pleasantly at the sight. Together they moved to sit on the benches, one across from the other, Todd fumbling with his guitar case, Dirk trying to decide what to do with his hands. Eventually, Todd pulled a battered, worn guitar from the case and set it on his lap. "Sorry, I didn't want to lug my amp all the way out here," he explained, as though apologizing for the instrument's condition. "I don't mind," Dirk told him. "It's easier with the van," Todd continued, still stuck on his amp. "We had trolleys and carts for transport." Todd trailed off, his expression growing dark. Dirk might have missed it, except that Todd had worn the exact same expression the last time they'd discussed his band. "Had?" Dirk asked, not missing the past tense. Todd fiddled now with the tuning pegs, went strangely quiet. After a minute or so, he shook his head, a bitter laugh falling from his lips. "I don't even know why I'm embarrassed," he said, pausing to tune several strings. "The band broke up. It was a long time coming. That's why I wasn't here last week. It didn't end well." He punctuated the point by playing a succession of chords. It was nothing Dirk recognized, though he would have been hard-pressed to recognize anything. Just a gentle strumming that occasionally made Todd frown and go back to fiddling with the tuning pegs. "I thought I could salvage it. I mean, we've been having problems for a while, but I still thought..." Here he chuckled, the same dark, bitter sound from before. "You know what? Never mind. You got any requests?" He glanced up, his expression open as he met Dirk's gaze. Dirk considered. He hadn't the foggiest notion how to answer. Something told him Todd didn't want to talk about the band, but Dirk knew only a handful of songs by name, and none of them were the sort he could picture Todd playing. "Can you play me something you've written?" he asked, hoping it was appropriate. Todd seemed a little startled by the question, but his smile was genuine, color having returned to his cheeks. In lieu of answering, he began to play. It was softer than Dirk was expecting, a slow melody that filled the space between them. It was as though the very air had come alive, sound pulsing in his bloodstream. Todd had closed his eyes, so Dirk did the same, tipping his head back to take in the sun's warmth. He could still feel the distant pull of the universe, amplified outside Blackwing's concrete walls, but sitting across from Todd, the sound of Todd's guitar spilling around them, Dirk had no desire to follow it. He was, for perhaps the first time in his life, content. Perhaps this is what brigands meant by freedoms. Dirk rarely afforded so tranquil an afternoon. Todd played continuously, flowing from one song to the next. Soft melodies became upbeat tempos, became rage-fueled refrains. Dirk listened intently, surprised, and a lot disappointed when their hour came to an end. "You're very good," Dirk said, as Todd packed away his guitar. This time Todd's flesh was scarlet, his skin damp with the heat. "Yeah, well..." Todd said, ducking his head. "No, I meant it, and I'm sorry about your band, but maybe it happened for a reason. Maybe the universe wants bigger things for you." Todd, who was busy stringing his case over his shoulder, a technician waiting for him by the door, seemed to consider this. "Is that a prediction?" he asked. Dirk shot him a glare, though it lacked any real heat. "It's a sometimes things happen for a reason, and a thank you. That's the first time I've ever heard live music." Todd's expression softened at that, though he seemed utterly incapable of responding. He opened his mouth several times, and yet nothing came out. Eventually, he shook his head. "I'll see you on Friday," he said, starting towards the door. Halfway there, he thought better of it and turned around. "Thanks," he said uncharacteristically shy. "I had a really good time." Dirk's breath caught at that, his heart lurching in his chest. He gave a curt nod, not trusting himself to speak. He held Todd's gaze for what felt like a full minute, Dirk wishing they'd had more time. There were so many things he wanted to say, so many things he'd meant to ask. But Todd was leaving, the technician ushering him out the door. Later, alone under his bed, the scent of damp earth still clinging to his clothes, it occurred to him that he wanted more than just weekly appointments. He wanted to see Todd every day, to sit with him and talk with him. And he was beginning to think, if today was any indication, that Todd felt the same, that Dirk was more than just a paycheck, that maybe, just maybe, Dirk was a friend.